Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Why is it that it's taken us so long in a country like South Africa to make progress? Well, Aaron Berman-Levy is the Chief Executive Officer at Blue Echo. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. So, there's little doubt that renewable energy, especially in South Africa in the form of solar, has got to be the way to go. Why has it taken so long to reach any form of maybe even a tipping point?
So, I think the key element here is the cost involved to it. Traditionally, most green energies have a very high startup capital cost that goes with it, and it makes it quite inaccessible for people, whether it be businesses or residential houses, to put solar systems in. Even though you can see a good payback on it, to outlay that sort of capital is very, very difficult for most people. And I think only recently it's becoming a little bit more accessible. There's various finance options around, and you know, panels have gotten significantly cheaper over the last probably 5 years or so. So it's becoming a lot more accessible. There's a lot more ways that you can kind of get around having to outlay such a high capital investment.
And I've always found this a bit confusing, because we've always had panels, let's say, for heating your swimming pool, not that they've ever worked, but you've had panels for that sort of thing. But when people are now using solar to power their house, is that a different system?
Yeah, it's completely different. So the panels that you'd use to heat your pool are basically just really small pipes which run up and down parallel to each other, and the sun heats that water up. Which goes then from your pool through the pipes back into your pool.
Right.
The solar panels that would be used to power your house or, you know, even just a small inverter actually use the photovoltaic, called PV panels.
Right.
So it's photovoltaic, which uses the light energy and converts that into electrical energy and can be converted, into basically anything that your house would use.
And how difficult is it to do that for a household?
It's very straightforward, actually, especially now. It's becoming so standardized. Most houses, you know, the biggest thing with solar is not necessarily generating the energy, it's having the storage involved. Houses traditionally have a load profile. We're using a lot of energy in the mornings and evenings, and a lot less during the middle of the day, which is when the sun is, you know, producing most of its energy.
Right.
So the real, not really the challenge, but the key thing to remember is making sure that there's enough battery storage for the panels to charge during the day and then use in the mornings and evenings.
So would you recommend, if somebody's looking to go that route, that they don't obviously go completely off the grid, because there will be times that you're going to need city power to charge what's been depleted. Is that right? I mean, for example, if you do this and you run a normal household, but then everybody's showering at night and you're using a lot of your reserve energy, it can't produce more because there's no sun until the next morning.
Correct. So, when you've got electric geysers, it does change everything. If you've got a gas geyser, it makes it obviously a lot easier, as would make sense, as with like a gas stove.
Mm.
But I would always recommend to at least, you have to have your grid connection. But the system design should be, I think the most effective way to do it is to make it almost like a 90% off-grid system, where on the average day, your system is producing enough during the day to charge your batteries, and your batteries are big enough to get you through the evening and the morning until the sun starts shining again the next morning.
So
obviously, there'll be days where you've got rain or something like that, and you'll be using a little bit from the grid here or there, but it's the most cost-effective, the most, in terms of the comfort of the system, that's sort of why you're putting it in. You don't want to be reliant on unreliable power.
Mm.
And that's sort of the sweet spot there.
And there's a lot of talk at the moment about gel batteries, lithium batteries. Just take us through it, because we're idiots.
So lithium is traditionally a lot more expensive, but, my recommendation is don't even consider looking at gel. I mean, maybe for a tiny system, they have to be cycled properly. They can't be utilized fully. They don't have a very long lifespan.
In my house, I've got those, and it's completely dead. I don't think I get 3 minutes of power from this whole system, this of batteries that I've got.
Yeah, and I'm sure you haven't even had it for more than a couple of years. That's
yes,
the thing.
Less than a year.
Lithium, the new lithium batteries, they can be cycled to almost like 95%. So they can be utilized fully. They can be cycled only 10% and up, and that, so it's not if you know, this might be complicated to sort of to think about, but basically they can last for, if it's, you know, utilized properly and they've got very sophisticated battery management systems built into them, they can be used for, you know, up to 15 years, a lot of them.
Right.
So even though they are more expensive up front, it's a much cleaner, you know, it's just cleaner, it's easy, it's seamless, and it can last a long time. It's not worth replacing every year and a half, where you have to worry about when can you turn it on, when can you turn it off, making sure it gets all the way down, all the way back up. You know, lithium, it's just far more advanced, really energy, the density of it, how it can store it. So they're a lot smaller as well. It's, yeah, no, lithium is the only battery I'd ever recommend using.
And do you see this each household not well, maybe factory is different because the energy use is a little bit different, but let's just talk about households. Do you see this now becoming the way in which people are, if they can afford it, are going? Because it does remove complete dependency or most dependency from from government suppliers.
I do. And I think even for those who can't really afford to pay the high startup costs, there are various finance options which are becoming more and more accessible, which would allow households, even, you know, business, like you said, it is a very different story. But with households, there are a lot of finance options which would almost, the amount of money that you would save monthly by generating your own power, you would save more or about as much as what you would pay back on your finance of the system. So coming out basically with like a net zero, but now you've got the system providing you reliable power, to about 90, 95%.
And how long does it take you to pay it back?
The average payback period on a household system is probably about 7 to 8 years if you were going to outlay the capital yourself.
Right,
To
of
do
course.
financing, most of the finance houses will offer about a 7 or 8 year loan on it, and then after that, it's your system that you're getting 100% of the benefit from.
Is this financeable?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing at the moment where the shift is coming in, where it makes it a lot more accessible for people who don't have that capital outlay. So, you know, there's traditional asset finance. Majority of the banks are actually very keen to finance these systems because it's such a bankable product. You know, solar, it's such a reliable, as long as the installation is done right, you know, you've got to make sure that the installers are accredited and you've got the right licenses behind you. But most of the time, whoever you've got your home loan with, you could almost just put an extension on your bond and pay that off, which is the easiest way to do it. That's what I recommend for most homeowners who don't want to outlay the capital. And banks are really amenable to it.
That is so interesting. What should a system cost? Obviously, it depends on what you want, but if you wanted to go the solar inverter route to be 90%, as you say, off grid, the average household should be spending what?
Sure, it's a hard one.
I know.
You've got, you know, two bedroom, three bedroom, four bedroom. Maybe those bedrooms aren't full. So whenever people ask me that, it's very difficult because I don't want to, you know, give something. But, you know, you could be anywhere between, I would say, you know, 110,000, and even a big house with, you know, maybe six full bedrooms, you could be up to 250,000. You obviously could get more of the less reliant you want to be on the grid, and the, you know, the more comfort you want, you put the batteries in, which is the most expensive part of the system. You can go up to 300,000 rand, you know, somewhere around there. It's such a
There's
wide
so many
range. But the key
variables,
is
but you're saying it.
exactly. And the other
Right.
thing,
Yeah. Sorry, carry on. The other thing.
no. So the other thing, which is really important, is that you can always scale up the system. So, you know, depending on your budget and your finance options available, as long as you've got the right base and framework, which is really from the inverter part of the system, you can always add more panels to generate more power and more batteries to store more power. But so, you know, you can kind of fiddle around with it and see, you know, if maybe the ideal system costs 150,000, your budget is 110, you can always use it as a base and kind of scale up as you go.
And how are we doing in South Africa in this regard? Are you seeing good progress?
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's one of the other big challenges is that with the sort of increased demand, you get a lot of people who sort of, we call them like fly-by-night installers, who have some sort of an idea of how to plug in a panel to an inverter and a battery. And it's, you know, those are coming out, you know, thick and fast. And the one hindrance to the progress is actually having to, you know, almost redo those systems and get those, you know, get those sorted out. But in general, I think people are becoming a lot more open to the idea of solar. It's been traditionally seen as a very expensive,
Yes.
unaccessible technology.
Yes.
I think people are opening up a little bit more to it. And I think I do think we're going in the right direction. I mean, I could go on forever about how industry is getting involved and, you know, regulations about how factories and those sorts of solar systems can be used to offset a lot of our energy crisis we're facing now, but that's a whole other story. I think with the houses, it is, you know, I think it's something that a lot of people have heard of, and it's just going to take a little bit of time to, you know, get it into people's heads that it is accessible. But I think I do think we're headed in the right direction.
Absolutely fantastic. Aaron Berman-Levy, Chief Executive Officer at Blue Echo, talking to us about solar and off-grid solutions at 727.